Thank you. If you'll remain standing and turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Will be our scripture reading. John chapter 14, starting with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this is your message to us. Lord, we just ask you to bless the message this morning. Bless the people that are here. Open their hearts, Lord, and instill in them the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We have PowerPoint, which means I point with power so that you can follow along. Sometimes it's easier for people. That's fine. I want to start with a concept. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. You can actually read this with me if you like. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto good works. The concept here is that this is God's word to you. It looks like a book, but it's not. It is a compilation of God's word. He speaks to you through these pages. Now, if you were to go through those double doors, take the first hallway to the right and the first door to the left, you would end up in Ray's old office. And if you happen to wander in there, you have to make sure you have breadcrumbs or a GPS, because of all of the books that he has in there. He has books and files that span 50 years of his ministry. And he's read every one of them. But the main thing is they were written by people. They may have been written about God. They may have talked about God's words. But if you want to know what God is saying to you, you have to open this book, or in Jeff's case, open your iPad, or your phone in Mike's case. Stop it, Mike. Okay? This is where you find what God wants to tell you. That's why we're going to look at John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. So tell me, what troubles your heart today? If you could write down on a piece of paper all the things that trouble you today, would you be able to list them all on a single page? I mean, they might be physical, right? They might be financial, emotional, psychological, family issues. There's plenty to consider as troubling. The symptoms, whatever they are, they affect you. They affect everything you do. If you are troubled, it's like being on the ocean that is troubled. Once you lose sight of land, if you're in a boat and you lose sight of land and the winds come up, I know guys who have been on the ocean for a long time and they get scared. It's troubling. He gives us assurances when he says, let not your heart be be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. He is going to prepare something for us. He has a special place for us. So now, we'll start. In verse 6, he says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we'll start with the way. The way refers to choices. In Scripture, there's two kinds of ways that are talked about. One is a directional thing. God called Abraham to leave his home and go someplace where he would show him. Abraham, by faith, went. He didn't know where he was going. My wife accuses me sometimes of not knowing where I'm going, but that's a different kind of thing. The point is that God leads us in a way. He led Moses by the fiery pillar during the day, or fiery pillar at night, and the column of smoke by day. He led, they followed in his way, because they wanted to go where he was leading them. His promise to them of a land and milk and honey. So there, the ways are, the choices that you have are directional. There are ways of goals. Goals you have in your life. You want to retire by the age of 73. I think that's when it was, right? 73, whatever it was. You want to retire, or you want to have a certain amount of income or wealth, be able to support certain kinds of things. These are goals. And then there are ways, are methods of operation. The ways that you do things, the ways that God does things. You often criticize politicians because they're corrupt in the way that they do things. Jesus says, I am the way. We think of the choices that you have in Luke 19. No, wrong Luke. In Matthew, that Luke, 17:13-14. You have choices listed there. You can enter in at the narrow gate. He's asking you to enter in at the straight gate. Or you can choose the broad path. The broad path is very popular. It even has commuter lanes. It has wide areas. There's lots of traffic that goes that way. Why? Because it's popular. It's something that people like to do. It fits in with their nature. You know what I'm talking about? There's a group over here that likes to party. There's a group over here that likes to pray. Enter in at the straight gate. You have choices. The straight gate is not very easy to find. It's hard to take that path. But those are the choices that we have. One leads to destruction. The end is destruction. There is no good way to live on drugs. There is no good life to live in alcohol. There is no good way to live in sexual immorality. None of these things that the world likes to do, this broad path, none of them lead to a good thing. There is no such thing as a good hangover. So I've been told. But the straight gate, the discipline of living a godly life, that leads to life everlasting. That leads to being in fellowship with God. Which pathway have you chosen? Have you made mistakes? Have you had failures? That's not uncommon. Everybody in here has made a mistake, right? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. All have sinned. Every one of us in here has sinned. Every one of us in here has made mistakes. Every one of us in here has had failures. Some are more dramatic than others, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. God says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus' way, the way Jesus traveled, you think about it, there's some of your Bibles may have maps in the back that show you the route that Jesus took. Dallas, Missouri, at the Bible college, taught the life of Christ, and he could stand up there and say, you go up here, he went over here, did this, did that, and I start getting dizzy, honestly. But not so much with him doing this, but knowing, thinking of where he went, knowing how well he knew it. But then, when you think about it, Jesus never had an address. He never could have his mail sent someplace. Amazon couldn't deliver, even FedEx couldn't deliver a package to his house or where he stayed. He never had an address. He was always on the move, which is something really important because it explains a truth that we need to really get a hold of. Jesus's life was not his destination. Do you feel like you've gotten to your destination yet? Is there some place in your life you feel like, if I could just get here, I'd be fine. I wouldn't have to worry. If I could just accomplish this in my life, then I would have succeeded. People work their whole lives sometimes and never feel like they've succeeded anything. But that's Jesus. His life was not his destination. There was no, he changed water into wine. He healed the lame, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead. You would think that you'd be able to camp out and dine on that for years. But the next day, he moved on. His way was not his accomplishments on earth. And your accomplishments on earth have nothing to do with the way that Jesus wants you to walk. What was his purpose in life? Luke 19:10 says, he came to seek and to save the lost. That was his purpose. Now, what department in the department store or what store in the mall can you go to and find the lost? Is there a simple place? Well, I'll go and you'll order it. I'll order it from here. No, Jesus had to walk. He had to travel. He had to sleep in the open, under trees, under the sky, didn't matter. John 3:16-17 said that Jesus came to save the world. If only we believed in him, he'd save the world. And he didn't come to condemn the world, but that through him, the world could be saved. That's what his purpose is in verse 2 and 3 of John chapter 14 we were looking at. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus' way was not in his life. Jesus' way was in his death and where he would ascend to heaven. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's his purpose right there. He says his purpose is to gather each one of us up unto him and bring us to heaven and abide with him there. Abiding with Jesus in heaven. Death is not something to be afraid of. Death is something that opens the door to living with Christ in heaven. Now, it gives us, those of us who are a little older, it gives us pause sometimes to think of it that way. It's not the usual way people think about death. They mourn death. They are afraid of death. They try any extremes available to avoid death. His way was not his birth. His way was to bring us to himself in heaven. You will only find and keep your way when you make the purpose of your life the same as Jesus. So now we'll move to the truth. I'm going to get 3 points done in one sermon instead of 1 point done in 3 sermons, Ray. Sorry. The truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is kind of a term that needs description in order to understand it. It's like explaining to a blind man what the color orange is. You have to describe it. The best way to understand truth is that it has no beginning and it will never have an end. It's like the old phrase, what you say on Friday will be true on Monday as well. What you say on Monday will be true on Friday. That's not the way politicians handle it. They say, if you elect me, I'll do this. And then they do that. Right? We've been through this process already. And we've made our choices based on promises made. And like the slogan we're hoping for is that promises will be kept. Okay? Jesus, in John 7:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The one thing we can't count on as truth is God's word. We see it in here. We read it. Then we understand that this is what God says. It is truth. All right, so I'm lessons from a builder. I was a builder a long time. So I understand certain things. All throughout the history of man, man has used tools in order to build. The first one, I mean, you have to recognize Noah, right? He built an ark. He built this huge structure. And it ended up saving his family and a bunch of the animals from the flood. But then there's the, you know, anything you look at, the Great Pyramids of Egypt, they all have one thing in common. They used the concept of level to build. Level level sets the standard for building. We have many devices. They come as small as a quarter. It's called a bubble level. As short as a 3 inches of string level. Then you have 2 foot, all kinds of sizes, up to 12 feet. I can plumb a wall with 12 feet high with the same tool. Of course, then there's also plumb bobs, you know, to make the walls plumb. Now, why do we care about that? Well, first of all, level is a concept of horizontal means, right? Plumb, you just take 90 degrees off of that. Now, and then from there, you can accomplish square. Now, why do we want to do that? Well, do you want a wall that's going to be sticking out in? Do you want the roof line to go like that? Houses, when they get old, their ridges sag like that. Nobody likes to look at that. And it also means that possibly your walls are being bowed out. These are all important concepts, all right? Think of it this way. If you're going to pour a foundation, this is a slab foundation that you're sitting on. If that slab foundation is not level, okay, you don't want to have to put a marble in the middle of the floor on the concrete and have it take you to the outside wall or someplace else. You don't want the concrete bubbling up in the middle. There's a necessity to build things level, plumb, and square. That way your tile doesn't go from this down to this at the wall. There's all kinds of, you know, outcomes that are not good and make customers very unhappy when they ask, well, why couldn't you just make it level? Well, one of the tools that we use now that we've gone into the technological age is a laser level. It's a device you put on a tripod anywhere in the house you want. You can set it right there in between Leanne and Michael there, and it will level itself. You turn on, it will level itself, and then it will start spinning and cast a laser line on every wall in this building. It's real neat when the lights are off and it's at nighttime to see that. And the thing about it is, you take that line, you measure up to the roof. If it's the same measurement all the way around, the builder did a good job. If that line measures down to the floor the same all the way around, the builder did a good job. But what if he didn't? What if it's like your life? One of the mistakes you made? One of the failures that you experienced? What if it goes up and down like this? I had a house that we came in to frame on. Foundation was 3 inches off. Now, that made our job happier. Why? Because we had to cut each stud according to that laser level line. We had to use the line that sets the standard and measure down and fit in each stud so that the next level would be perfect. Now, if we build up from there and it's perfect, we've done our job. But what happens if it's your life that got damaged? Do you just throw it away? Just take out the foundation, pour it brand new. Well, some people would do that. Some people would demand that. Turn to Romans. Chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Because here's a very important verse. No matter what your personal situation is, the mistakes you've made, you can know this in verse 8, that God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No matter what the mistakes you made, the failures that you've had or had to experience, the trials, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is the truth. The truth is, no matter what your life has been, you can still find the truth and take your next step according to the truth. It's not what the framer walks onto that makes him a good framer. It's what the framer does from the level line on up that makes him a good framer. It's not how hilly the soil may be that makes a foundation guy good. It's making a foundation level in spite of what he's been given to work with. What have you been given to work with? What do you have to deal with today? Jesus set himself as the line of truth. Abide by the truth. Above and below. Yeah, next page. There you go. Past, present, and future. Every one of us here has each one of these things. When your past failures or your present weaknesses or your future mistakes, if you are worried or troubled about these things, They will follow you, and they will make your life difficult. But if you abide by the truth, your past, you can accept the things that you've done wrong. You can admit to them. You can say, I screwed my life up. I am the chief of sinners. If you knew everything about me, you might not like me very much. If you knew everything. Our present is submission to Christ, is accepting Him and being faithful to His truth. And the future is commitment to His word. Commitment to follow that line of level, that line of truth, the word of truth. Psalm 25, 5, verse 5 and verse 10 says, lead me in thy truth. It says, the path of the Lord is mercy and truth. John 1, 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth. And what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You shall know the truth and I almost heard it that time. Leanne, go. You shall know the truth and make you free. I know people who really want to be free. I know people who are bound up in the lies of the world, the failures of their past, the weaknesses of their present, the mistakes of the that they will make in the future. Okay, the life. Page 3. The life. Reflections through history. You see the categories up there, creation. Just check off in your on your paper these things. Either that or, you know, get with Ursula and Alethea. They may make copies of their notes for you. Creation. Who was involved? We know that God and Jesus were involved, right? Healing. All the healing that was ever done in the Bible. There was a lot of it done in the Bible. Some in the Old Testament, some in the New. Who was involved? Well, we know God and Jesus, right? This is church after all, right? It is God and Jesus. Okay. How about the resurrection? God and Jesus again, right? God caused it. Jesus experienced it. But when you look at those things, man wasn't involved in any of those things. Man never supplied the power, never gave the direction. He only experienced the result of some of these things. I need to work on my handwriting. I really do, because I can't read that. Man could never accomplish any of these things. These things here are really important to our life, aren't they? Everything in here is fundamental to our faith. Everything in here is completely unattainable by you and me. But we need to have faith. Okay. Now, for all those in Zoom land, this is where I pause to ask for a volunteer from the studio audience. Yeah, I'll just take anybody, especially if they have a camouflage jacket. Anybody have a camouflage jacket? Oh, that Ray. Hey, thank you. Ray, would you come on up, please? Not Bob Barker, but, you know, I do what I can. Okay, Ray. I'm going to ask you. I've never asked you to do this before, have I?
No, you've never asked me to do this before.
Thank
goodness.
Have you ever taken me out to dinner before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm available this afternoon.
Okay.
You just hold it up by the shoulders, like that. Turn around so everybody can see. No, the jacket. Turn the jacket around so everybody can see that there's nothing inside.
Oh.
I'm not trying to trick anybody here. Okay. All right, go back the other way. Now, you use this for hunting, right?
Yes.
This man told my trusting, very innocent wife one time that he wears this so he could be invisible. Okay. Now, he's invisible so he can hunt, but he has to put an orange vest on. I don't understand the logic of that. Okay. Now, hold up. Okay. Hi, Ray. Stop it. You're not waving at me. Okay. How about a fist bump? No. You're tempted, aren't you? How about if I shake your hand? Nothing. How about if I hug you? I just don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling, you know? Yeah, but, and Ray didn't, people have spent more on clothing than Ray did on this jacket, right? You can't go to the mall and spend just a little bit of money on clothing. And sadly enough, it's hard to go to the mall or any place else and find modest clothing. My wife gave up 20 years ago trying to find modest clothing. It's just not there. You buy jeans. When I bought jeans in high school, the 501s, it took me months to get them washed and comfortable. And it took even longer to start developing holes here and there, right? Depending on what I was doing. You can't buy jeans now without holes in them. I don't understand. Obviously, just like this jacket, you wear it to be seen. People dress to be seen. And whether they put patches on it in high school, you know, Letterman's jackets, is to be seen. People even wear, you got tattoos? The people wear tattoos because they want it to be seen. Okay. Would you put it on now, please? This is the most fundamental understanding of life that I want to get across today. Alethea, why are you smiling? You know where I'm going with this? Nope. You're just enjoying the moment, right? Okay. All right. Hi, Ray. Ah, it works. Hey. Yeah. Ah. You know? There's that warm, fuzzy feeling. Yeah. You can cry on this shoulder. Tears of sorrow. Tears of joy. You will feel what you want, what you need to feel when you share with what's inside this jacket. Did I hurt you? Okay. You will understand that life can be better because of what's inside this jacket. Okay. Let's give our volunteer a hand. John 10:10 says that the thief may come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. There may be times where you feel like you're just an empty suit. You may be times where you feel like you just are not properly attired. You may not feel like you're going to make it. But when you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, when you let Him abide in you, when you allow Him to live in you, guess what? You just start to enjoy life. You enjoy the time you spend with your family. You enjoy the opportunities that He brings to you. You find that the function that you are carrying out in your life is good, when so much of the rest of the life is bad. Revelation 3:20. Did I forget anything? Yes. Revelation 3:20 says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will answer, I will come in. All you have to do is ask. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask Jesus to come in and abide. He's already knocking. He's already saying, I want to come in. He's knocking worse than my dog scratches on the door. I want to come in. He's saying, please let me in. And when you do, He will come in. He will sup with you. He will eat with you. He will dine with you. And you will dine with Him. You will experience that which everybody's looking for. All you have to do is turn the TV on and see what people are looking for. See what people are paying big money for. Is to have peace in their heart and a relationship with someone that maybe they need to cry on his shoulder. We've had to do that from time to time, haven't we? Maybe we need to just laugh with them. Enjoy the bounty that he's given us. John 14:6 says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I left that blank. No man cometh unto, and I gave it to you, the Father, but by me. Because people look for something to put in their life. And ever since the beginning of the Bible, ever since Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, separated from God, man has been looking for something to fill that void in their life. And Jesus is saying, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to fill that void in your life? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us your word. We know that we can apply it to any situation in our life. We know that even better than Neosporin, we can put it in any situation, it will help us. It will guide us. It will direct us. Father, we desire to be full of you. We desire that you fill our lives with your joy, with your peace that passes all understanding. Father, we ask you to bless us today. And that if we need to, we know all we have to do is ask. And we'll receive. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.